Welcome to the Menstruality Podcast, where we share inspiring conversations about the power of menstrual cycle awareness and conscious menopause. This podcast is brought to you by Red School, where we're training the menstruality leaders of the future. I'm your host, Sophie Jane Hardy, and I'll be joined often by Red School's founders, Alexandra and Shani, as well as an inspiring group of pioneers, activists, changemakers, and creatives to explore how you can unashamedly claim the power of the menstrual cycle to activate your unique form of leadership for yourself, your community, and the world. Hey, it's so good to have you with us today. Welcome back to the Menstruality Podcast. Today's theme is perimenopause, and we're looking at how in our 40s, for most people, many women and people with periods begin to experience a variety of health, symptoms, challenges, emotional and psychological shifts. And some call this perimenopause. At Red School, we like to call it the quickening. So in this episode today, which is the fourth and final in our menopause summer series celebrating the launch of our upcoming book, Wise Power, we look at the quickening, perimenopause, this phase in our life in the run-up to the menopause process, and how it's slowly awakening new levels of power within us. And it's really beautiful because Shani shares very personally how she's currently negotiating this transition. We look at how we receive this report card on the state of our health in our 40s, which invites us to up our self-care and prepare for a healthy post-menopause life. We look at how to handle this new power that's awakening in us, which requires deeper responsibility, and also how to handle your new increased critical capacities in this time wisely and cleanly, rather than using them to annihilate and destroy. Hey, you two. I'm aware that we're all arriving at this conversation in various states of disarray, is one word for it. Alexandra's had some dental work. Shani hasn't had much sleep at all. And I'm in the middle of just piles of bricks and craziness in my house as we begin this renovation. So, yeah, here we are.
For our conversation, really.
It is perfect. All this chaos and dissembling and kind of discomfort and weariness is just the perfect ground for what we're about to talk about. Life does it again.
And what day are you on, Shani? You go, Alexandra.
Yeah, well, I'll go. It's, well, for me, it's the day before, it's the dark moon, it's the day before new moon. And I always go into a slight kind of high on this day, which is what echoes what it was for my, when I was bleeding. So I get sort of, I'm slightly untethered and in a nice way. And I'm feeling very chirrupy this morning, just sort of humming tunelessly to myself because I'm no singer, but I just find myself humming along, singing away. So I'm in good spirits. But the other thing is I feel monumentally sleepy and I feel like I'll be not tired so much, but sleepy. And I sort of feel like, you know, is it the Mad Hatter that falls asleep? So there may be a point where I'm just sort of...
We'll just nudge you if you start snoring. On
I might just snoozle off at some point. But, you know, I'm in a sort of happy-go-lucky mood, really.
That image of you at the Mad Hatter's tea party, that's so funny. And I feel like I just want to fall into that slumber with you. Oh, yes. I mean, we're taking the whole month off next month. And in true style, like whenever you approach, well, I'll speak for myself.
You can speak for me too, Charlotte.
I'll speak for you. Whenever I approach like a sort of holiday or sabbatical, there's this grind that happens in the lead up to it. There's this intensity. It's not that different to just before menstruation, where it's like, oh, suddenly like everything wants a piece of you. I have that going on. And I'm actually mid-cycle, so I'm day 13 today. And I would it's interesting. Often at this place in my cycle, I feel really full. And it's a sort of pregnancy fullness, like I can hold it. I feel really alive and virile, and like there's a lot going on, but I can hold it. But today, not so much. Today, I feel full, but in a kind of overwhelmed, too much sort of way, which is everything to do with the fact that I have had rough nights because of my daughter waking up, and because we're coming to this final week of work. And also because it's dark moon, that combination, it's like, oh, I don't quite have the same inner resilience that I ordinarily might have here.
Which is going to speak so much to people who might be listening who are feeling that they're in perimenopause because of the sleep disturbances that can happen in that phase. It feels really relevant. I want to frame this conversation for us. So, this is our fourth and final in our Wise Power Summer series, where we've been looking at the stories and the teachings that will be revealed when we release Wise Power, which is coming out on September the 20th. And today's topic is so important. We get asked about it all the time, and the conversation that's happening in the world is big and loud at the moment around this time of life that is being called perimenopause, and that you two have coined or call the quickening. And it's a time when people see physical health challenges rising, mental health challenges, cycles start changing, new cycle symptoms can arise, and also just a destabilizing time, bewildering time when like feelings start about our lives start to change and our worldview changes. And I say our because I've turned 40 and I'm feeling it. I'm feeling it. It feels very personal for me. And there isn't much understanding or any understanding in our world about this, which is why I'm so grateful for you two. When I was reading the chapter on the quickening, I was saying, wow, this is so needed. And I think we should just get into the conversation by looking at the terms, the terminology here, because there's lots of different ways of talking about these phases of our lives, and it can get very confusing. And you've laid this out quite clearly, so I'll walk us into it. Firstly, you talk about the summer of your menstruating years being from about age 28 to 40. So this is the phase before we get to the quickening. Do you want to say a little bit about those years?
Now, what would I say about the summer? There's an ease, and if you're fairly healthy, there's energy in the tank and you feel young. And I suppose I want to say, bizarrely, there's a certain level of unconsciousness about what you really hold in yourself at a deeper level. And it's also probably very much about really establishing a life. So there's a kind of outer focus there. In a way, it's not about deep inquiry stuff so much as just really getting out there and creating an identity for yourself or something, forming something.
Which is good and right and true, and what should be happening. And then there's this progressive shift through our 40s that you're referring to as the autumn of your menstruating years or the quickening. And then there's this word perimenopause, which is being used in loads of different ways and can be confusing. So, can we talk about all of this?
Yeah, there is so much confusion, Sophie. I so much of our work at Red School has been, I was thinking about this morning when I was in the bath, which is how I recovered from my hell night. I thought I'm going to get into a hot bath this morning, abandon my children and just soak in the tub. And while I was soaking in the tub, I thought, one of the ways that we have been disempowered is through all the confusion around the naming of our experience. Our sort of inner processes as women and the experiences that we have connected to our biological changes have, well, firstly been shamed and denied and ignored. And as part of that, there's been no words to describe them. And so much of our work at Red School has been discovering the lexicon, finding the words that really meet the experience that we're having. And of course, when we came to writing this book on menopause, we were once again confronted with all the confusion that's out there, with how our experience is being described. And the terms that are being used have almost been put upon us, and they don't seem to come from our deeply lived experience. So Alexandra and I really felt into our understanding of menstruality and how that speaks to us, and found the words that really capture the essence of what we're talking about. So that's where this term, the quickening, came from, which we can get into in a minute. And then as part of that, we started to go, okay, so everyone's talking about perimenopause. What does this actually mean? And we discovered a flipping minefield. It's okay. So people are using this word in all kinds of ways. People are using the word perimenopause to actually describe the menopause transition, to actually describe the time around where your periods stop. So we'll come to the medical definition of menopause is like when your periods have ceased for a year. So that it's a moment. And then perimenopause seems to be used as the word to describe all that happens around that moment, what we actually call the menopause transition, the psycho-spiritual changes that happen over a number of years around that time of your menstrual cycle ending. Then there are other people who are using this word perimenopause to describe the gradual incremental shifts that happen in our system from our late 30s onwards, because everything in our being is transitional. Nothing goes from on to off. So there is this gradual incremental change that happens as we move through our 40s and then peaking, crescendoing, culminating at menopause. So people are talking about the 40s, really, the late 30s, 40s as being perimenopause. So now that's the phase that we refer to as the quickening. Yeah, so hopefully that brings a little more clarity. I mean, there are actually people using the word perimenopause in other kinds of ways as well, but those are the ways that we've uncovered it and how we've made sense of it for ourselves.
So let's position that now with the next phases, which I love this term. You'd call it the menopause hinterland, which is a void a year or two before the menopause. So this is part of, is this part of the quickening?
It's the grey area between the quickening and menopause.
As Shani said, the whole process is just, you know, you're in one great transition. And the reason we are very disciplined around this, our terminology, is because actually we feel people are putting themselves into menopause ahead of their time, because menopause is, there's a very distinct psycho-spiritual process that goes on that actually requires age as a component of it. Gosh, it's really, yes, we've broken it up like this because people are always asking us, well, how do you know when it's menopause? This is the million-dollar question. In a way, when people are constantly asking that question, it tells me that they're not in connection with something, because we are evolved into menopause, and you will know that moment where it has really shifted. And we have just really it's almost like we've put that whole phase, the quickening, the hinterlands, it's like we've put that whole journey into menopause under the magnifying glass, really, and try to sort of break it up to give people more clues. And the reason people are asking all the time, you know, when is it, is because they haven't been educated or rooted in their menstrual cycle. And when you're practicing cycle awareness, and we have some lovely stories in the book about this, people who are feeling the transition now, and they're just inside something. You know, I remember it so clearly. I was never fussed by any terms whatsoever. It's so interesting. I just followed the process of what my body was doing and listened to it and took the, you know, appropriate moves to take care of myself, both my inner work and practical health stuff. Yes, because it's a hugely grey area where you're neither one thing nor the other. And then suddenly you are really in something very strong, because menopause is initiatory. And I'm saying that in a very emphatic way. And what we mean by that is, if it's initiatory, that means there's going to be a challenge involved. That doesn't mean you're going to have shit symptoms or anything like that, but you are going to meet a psychological challenge to your identity of who you are, because you're stepping up to this really expanded sense of yourself. You're stepping up to real spiritual power, like powers become available. But you have to be evolved into that. You've got to be prepared. You can't flip a switch and suddenly be channeling those kind of forces. It's a real responsibility that you step into. And you know, the years of your 40s, you know, I see it in Shani now. We talk about it because Shani's in her mid-40s, and we should be hearing from Shani now about what she's going through. But you know, at one point, I think I gave you a serious talking to, didn't I, Shani?
Oh, that's here. What did she say?
Well, because I can feel these powers starting to wake up in Shani more. I mean, you know, I can feel that Shani is, it's so interesting watching it. It's really in the last year or so, probably, that I've observed that you are dealing with more force in your system. And the 40s are really a time of mastery. You are really, you've got a fabulous power you need to hone in your 40s. And I can feel how it's working, Shani, and how I have to meet her differently. And also, I said some firm things to her about how she manages this power. I'll let Shani speak to that. And yeah, it's just really interesting feeling this quickening going on, and it's fabulous. It's great. It's super. I'm really loving observing this process in you, Shani, and loving this power that's sort of almost like there's a hungriness for it to come out. I don't know if you haven't used that word. I don't think, but yeah.
Let's go there. Let's look at, or could you give us an overview, if it's possible, of what's happening psychologically in this deep soul level within us in the quickening, Shani?
Praise, yeah.
So I love what you said, Alexandra, just that reminder about menopause being an initiation, and that you are learning to channel this enormous power, and in a way that capacity has to be titrated through your 40s.
What do you mean by titrated?
So microdosing, bit by bit, you're learning to inhabit that and take responsibility for it and manage it. So it's incremental. It's a, you know, we talk about getting fit for menopause in our book. And it's that you're having this spiritual workout on the inside, which sort of starts in your 40s and then incrementally accelerates. So for me, and this will, we're putting ages to this, it will be slightly different for everyone, but there is a patterning of this gradually increasing intensity and urgency and pace at which one has to rise to meet oneself and rise to meet the challenges that one's faced with. So a good way of diving into this is to really refer to what we know about the menstrual cycle, particularly the second half of the menstrual cycle. So the second half of the menstrual cycle, we refer to this as the via negativa. And this is the place in the cycle where you are geared down into yourself. And as part of that process, you are being punctured. We talk about this ego deflation that happens. So you're confronted with your wounds, with your shadow. And in all of that, you're tenderized and humbled, and really ultimately invited to drop into a deeper resource in yourself, to find deeper connection, to lean into something bigger than yourself. So that's what's happening in the second half of the cycle, which is preparing you for that spiritual expansion that happens at menstruations, preparing you to receive the power that's available to your menstruation.
Oh, yes, yes.
So this is what's being mirrored in our life cycle. So our 40s are a long, slow, gradual ego deflation.
Woo-hoo!
Undoing, puncturing.
Can't wait.
Yeah, it's funny.
That's funny. And it's this thrust of authority that's coming through. And
yeah,
that's what I'm feeling in you, your authority, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just...
Yeah, so this is what's happening. The powers of the inner autumn are amplifying. They're waking up in us in our 40s. We're getting access to greater authority, bigger power, more discernment, heightened sensitivity, stronger intuition, more potency, more clarity, all these kinds of things. We're getting access to these very powerful forces.
And, you know, I just have to come in here. If that wasn't counterbalanced by this ego deflation, you'd end up being a shit, basically.
Yeah, yeah. So it takes a huge amount of responsibility to manage what's waking up in you in your 40s. And that was Alexandra's talking to me. That was her firm talking to me, was the, you've got to take responsibility for what's waking up in you. You can't afford to go unconscious now. You can't afford to be lazy. You can't afford to abandon yourself or really not show up for yourself. So there's this real call to actually step into greater responsibility for yourself, and with that, greater care for yourself. So this is where self-care just becomes absolutely, I want to say, critical. It's like you in your 30s, 20s, you know, in your 20s, you kind of really don't know how to look after yourself that well. In your 30s, you start dabbling and, you know, you can get away with it. So, you know, you don't really have. In your 40s, the buck stops.
Yeah.
It's non-negotiable. You can't cross your own boundaries. You can't cross your own capacity. You've got to be super careful with your nervous system and energy, because if you overstep yourself, you land up reacting, acting out, destroying, hurting others, yourself. That's what happens, which is what happens premenstrually. If we aren't taking enough time and space for ourselves, that power either gets turned on us or on those we love.
So just to put you totally on the spot, what is this looking like for you in your life? How old are you? You're 45.
I'm 45. So the thing I've noticed most, Sophie, is I'm experiencing a lot of challenge these days. So things are not so simple as they used to be. I'm dealing with a lot more complexity, both in myself, but also in my life. So Red School is bigger and thriving, and there are more people involved, and there's more to care for. Everything is, my children are older, their lives are getting bigger. It's like my marriage has been going for a long time, so you know, all the sheen is gone, so that gets more complicated. So it's just, there's a lot more to have to deal with overall in my life. And then the same is happening on the inside. So the things that I, you know, we spoke about the summer of our menstruating years, we're a little more unconscious. The things in myself that I could get away with not looking at, or that I could be unconscious about, I'm being confronted with now.
I am noticing that, because pretty much every time when we show up to a team meeting and you're checking in, you say some version of, I'm dealing with big stuff inside right now. Mm-hmm. And I'm always amazed, because then you're laughing, you're working, you know, you're functioning. But I can see there are, like, the way I talk about it is, there are like big whales in your ocean.
Yeah.
You know, there are big whales swimming around inside you, and you keep showing up and holding yourself through them. It's really beautiful to witness.
Thank you, Sophie. And the other piece I want to add to that, before I come to a little bit of how I do that, it's just the other piece that's very big for me at the moment is the critical capacities that I have are far stronger now than they've ever been. I've always been somebody who has seen through things and been very quick to kind of notice what's not working, or, you know, I've got this cynical edge in me and this sort of rebellious quality. I've had that all my life, but now it's amped up. It's like the innocent part of me has stepped back, or is sort of being overshadowed by that discerning critical part of me. And so what I'm having to do, or what I'm confronted with so often, is all the ways I'm seeing how things are not working. And you know what a pain in the ass it is to be around somebody who's very critical. Okay, well, I have to be around myself all the time. Okay, so that's what I'm with.
You're very graceful with it, because, you know, that could come out as you. It could come out in so many ways.
It could come out as me being an asshole.
I'd love to come in here, because this is just such a juicy conversation around power. And I really have felt that critical capacity in you, Shani. And what's really interesting for me is because this is just all wholesome, good power. This is, you know, it's just power that's got to be wielded. And I, for myself, when I'm encountering you, I step up to something more. I have to choose to, because it's power that's in service of something. You know, our power is in service of something. And I think you're really negotiating that in your 40s. And for me, I mean, it's challenging. I mean, you're not directing your critical power at me. Well, occasionally you might.
As far as you know.
In your head.
You're sending it back from me very fast. Because I have a very strong critical faculty too. But I'm really not wanting to judge this critical power.
Completely, yeah.
I'm really trying to say, yeah, you've got this critical faculty, and what you need are players around you who meet you there with it. And you've got to do your own inner work. You've got to take responsibility for something. And that's, I think, what I was talking to you about. Partly was what you were doing, you know, it's about yourself, that critical power in yourself. But also about, you know, this is power. We want to ride this power, Shani. I mean, I want to capitalize on this power with you. I think the two of us together, you know, with what's waking up in you, it's just a very powerful combination. So, but of course, you need people who can meet you in that.
And yeah. And this is so much for me the training ground of the 40s is learning to be clean with that critical energy, learning to be in right relationship with that critical energy. The thing you said, Alexandra, which is really comes to my how I hold this in myself, is I am so committed to what I'm serving, and the piece that I keep coming back to is what I'm feeling now serving? Am I using this critical capacity in service to generate and create discernment and potency and refinement, or am I using it to annihilate and destroy? And to really do that, one has to be aware that one is in this critical energy. So for me, that's my practice, is really noticing, oh, okay, here I am. I'm in this critical energy again, and really letting myself inhabit it. That's the trick. If you try and shut this shit down, it pops out all the wrong places and becomes petty and shitty. Mm-hmm. So the thing I have learned is to really inhabit this critical energy in myself. So what that looks like, Sophie, is I rant and rave about the things that are pissing me off or irritating me, or, you know, all the finger pointing stuff I've got going on outer. I really let myself go there. And in doing that, I then come clean with it. I come into like, what am I really serving with this? I find it a lot harder in terms of, you know, doing that with myself, but the discipline there for me has been to counterweight it with championing and affirming myself, to really consciously cultivate the part of myself that affirms, holds, cherishes, loves me. And as you know, that's a huge, you know, part of the culture at Red School. That's what we do. We give time to that. So, you know, that's part of how I would dignify this energy and hold myself in it.
It's beautiful to hear.
So that when you're ranting and raving, you're doing that privately, aren't you?
Yes. Yeah, so occasionally you might join me with it. So if I know that... We do have our rants and raves together.
Yeah, we have our rant and raves together, yes. That's I regard myself as part of that privacy.
Yeah, it's good to do. I think it's good to have moments where we stop trying to be good and nice and spiritual, and, you know, it's really good to have these moments where we let ourselves be total arseholes in the privacy of our own room.
Yeah, let it rip.
Let it rip.
It's so good what you're saying. And we were talking about this before we began this conversation, that so much of what we do at Red School is dignifying and honoring this, the via negativa, the inner autumn, the premenstrual grittiness and challenge and the power that's within it. And what we're saying really here is that this conversation around the quickening is a continuation of this honoring of this power that our world does not understand and does not recognize and see.
Yeah, it's big, big work in our 40s, because it's not just personal. We're rewriting the power story in our 40s.
At Red School, we want to create a world where our 40s are a time where this power story can be rewritten for all of us. And that's why Alexandra and Sharni have written their new book, Wise Power: Discover the Liberating Power of Menopause to Awaken Authority, Purpose and Belonging. It's coming out through Hay House on September 20th this year. And the book goes into lots of depth about how to manage and navigate the quickening. You can pre-order your copy today at wisepowerbook.com. That's wisepowerbook.com.
I want to read a section from the book, which brings us back to something you said at the beginning, Alexandra, about not putting yourself ahead of yourself with menopause. So you say in the book, this life stage is crucial in the creative arc of your life, and you have much to live, learn, and develop here. It's important preparation. Be careful not to let the label perimenopause put you ahead of yourself, like groundweed creeping into your 40s and taking over. This time in your menstruating years is sacrosanct, and you need to fulfill it before entering menopause.
It's really a time to, it's about mastery. I think of it as really you really coming to terms with power. I mean, you're actually learning how to hold spiritual power more and more, but actually you're learning how to, you're wielding power in the world. You can be immensely effective. You know, this is, I think of us as really kind of coming into a real time of flow with our, whatever our professional identity is in the world, just really feeling like you're in your authority, you are an authority, and you're nailing it, and you're achieving things. There's a muscularity, that's the word that's coming, there's a real muscularity that you're developing, and a really healthy ego, like, yeah, I'm strutting my stuff and I'm great. You've got energy in the tank still. And you know, there's a lot of physical chi there still, even as you know, it's not as resilient as it was in your 30s. You've got it. And yes, there's a very particular kind of mastery that you're achieving, a worldly kind of energy, establishing an identity. And that, to be able to do that, you know, you've got, that's a responsibility. And I'm seeing that in Shani. That's what Shani's getting. Shani is really great. She's just, it's great working with you. It's great. Just, I can feel and hear your intelligence. You know, it's just so alive and great. And it's like having a real equal, you know, in this game. It's so satisfying. And that's really as it should be, that kind of strutting your stuff. I just want you to feel really great, Shani, about shininess. you're cool, and you know it all, you know?
Do you know, one of the things that's so beautiful about this critical capacity that wakes up big time during the quickening is that you become more and more discerning about what's you and what's not you. And you talk about this shininess waking up. It's such a beautiful thing after a lifetime of being loaded with cultural expectations and who you think you should be and trying to live up to other people's ideals and all of that. In your 40s, part of this critical discernment is you go, hey, wait a minute, who am I? What do I want? What do I like? You know, what's for me? What's not me? And so you are shedding such a cultural load in your 40s. If you're paying attention, you will really be climbing out of some sort of straitjacket that you've been holding yourself in about who you think you should be. So that sort of social face, the social self that you've been locked in, which is possibly served you to a point, you'll come to recognize all the ways that doesn't serve you anymore and all the ways that you've abandoned yourself in being that person that others want you to be, ultimately. And you start coming home to yourself. And the thing that's so beautiful about this, Sophie, is you really start to come into this sweeter connection with, well, what you love, but also what you need. And so this deeper relationship of kindness and care for yourself starts to come in. That's what I am really feeling is that I'm learning at a very deep level how to care for myself.
And your morning this morning is an example of that. You know, you were up till 11 with one kiddo, awake at 3 with another kiddo. And this morning you went, you know what? I'm going to go and get in the bath and soak. And that's a display of this, isn't it? You knew you needed to be with yourself in hot water.
Yes, exactly. And it's like I can feel my boundaries much more clearly. And I go, okay, I've hit an edge in myself now. I've got a big day. It's like, I can't go beyond this place in myself. So now I'm going to start saying no to my children, to the other jobs I needed to do, the other things that need to happen. And I'm going to care for me. So it's like you get this kind of new elbowing capacity to sort of carve the space out. So it's that, Sophie, but it's something else as well. It's also like a moment by moment thing where I'm just kinder to myself in the moment.
Just a way of thinking about yourself.
Exactly.
Yourself. Yeah.
Where I let myself off the hook or...
Yeah.
It's kindness. That's the only way I can describe it. It's a moment by moment kindness that I'm starting to feel that wasn't there before. I was much more outer focused, and now, yeah, my attention is much more with my needs.
Speaking about needs, it feels really important to look at what's going on with our health in our 40s in this phase, because I can imagine, I can almost hear the people listening with the challenges that they're facing physically, but emotionally and mentally as well when it comes to health. And I luckily, unluckily had in my 30s a lot of health challenges. So I know what it means to have to turn towards myself and make all kinds of life changes that I didn't want to. So I can empathize from that place. You talk about the quickening being, or these final years of your cycle being like a report card on the life you've lived and the state of your health. So things are coming up now. You're seeing things that need to be seen.
Yeah. And rather than casting it as this is menopause, you know, this is a sign menopause is upon me, it's actually a sign you're getting older and you can't abuse your body in the same way. Just rather than sort of saying, oh, it's menopause, and there's a certain inevitability about that statement. Oh, right. And actually, what is happening is you're getting a report card on your overall health, how you're doing, because your energy is probably not what it used to be, and you cannot take stress in the same way. Yes, there is a drop in estrogen, progesterone in our 40s, and progesterone is that lovely soothing hormone. And when that's dropping, then some sleep stuff can come in, and we can't tolerate stress in the same way as we used to. But it's not a pathology. It's not a kind of weakness in the system. It is what it is. And you're being asked to adjust to something different. I've got Lara Bryden's words ringing in my ears right now around, well, you're late 40s. She speaks of it as a critical window or a window of opportunity, actually, is the phrase. She uses both those phrases. And that if you can meet this moment and really address your overall health, not see it as, oh, you know, menopause symptoms, but address your overall health. And it's all the usual culprits, you know, that we have to attend to. What you're doing is not only setting yourself up well for menopause, but you're actually setting a new line for your health in your post-menopause years, because you've got another 30 odd years of, you know, living and loving and, you know, causing trouble in the world. And you want to be well to do that. And I just love that image of this, you know, window of opportunity to really seize this moment and go, okay, I'm really going to put in place now something different for my health or practices. And these are practices then for life. Now, I was like you, Sophie, that I suffered with hideous, you know, menstrual, all sorts of health problems, not just my menstrual pain story, in my 30s. And so, and through my early 40s. And man, you know, my self-care practices were second to none. I was so determined to be well. And I've just continued going on, you know, learning more about health and what supports my body. But do you know what? My menopause, I did not have physical symptoms. My sleep, because I'd had hideous sleep before then, long before then. My sleep was, in my eyes, you know, it wasn't great sleep, but I was ahead, let me tell you. And so I wasn't getting neurotic about the sleep. I mean, I was always wanting to improve it, but I was ahead. And I actually had no idea what hot flushes were until the end, when I was tired from moving countries. That was when I started getting not severe ones, but mild ones. And I put it, I'm so grateful. I mean, I would not wish ill health on anybody, but you know, the upside of it was that I'm pretty fierce about my self-care. And I think, so yes, your 40s, if you're starting to experience difficulties, attend to them, attend to them.
Very much like the premenstrum, people often notice, and I often notice, how in the inner autumn and as I approach my bleed, I have these repeating surfacing of health issues that are cyclical. They're cyclical. For a long time, I used to get sinus pain in my premenstrum, or toothache, or started feeling, you know, snotty or bunged up or whatever it was. And this is what's happening in our 40s. Our resilience is dropping. It's like the curtain is parting, and our sort of buffer starts to wane. And what gets revealed are the deep underlying issues in our system. So that's both on a psychological, emotional level and on a health level. And all of this is coming up to be tended to in our 40s, so that we are lightening our load. We're arriving at menopause, having healed and integrated as much as possible. We're really wanting to create more coherence, a stronger container, both physically, mentally, and emotionally, to handle this power. Because power is, it takes a body, you know, but it takes wellness to hold power. When we're unwell or tired, or it's very hard to hold power, to use power well. So that's really what's happening, is again, it's this getting fit for menopause piece. So the report card you're getting is, it's like, right, this is your prescription of what you need to care for. And I just want to really reiterate something here, because this is one of the other ways that the word perimenopause is being used, is really to describe the sort of, people talk about them as almost inevitable symptoms that happen as your hormonal system shifts. And in a way, it pathologizes all of what's going on here. And we really want to remind people that there is profound meaning in what surfaces at this time. And it's not an inevitable decline that you are a victim of. Not at all. It's actually a call to step up to greater responsibility for yourself.
Mm. And the book is full of examples of this, full of stories of people that you've sat in circle with, that you've worked with. It was beautiful to read one of them, and what I've got one of them here in front of me, which is Kirsty, a 49-year-old Red School menstruality mentor. And she was kind of doubling down on her cycle awareness practice because she was noticing her cycles changing. And she said, you know, because my cycles are shifting around between 19 and 39 days, I have to be more on it. And she noticed that she was having normal ovulatory four inner season cycles as she knew it, but then she was also having in between an ovulatory cycle when an egg wasn't being released. Mm. And those cycles were leaving her feeling very tired and wired. Mm. And that she was noticing that her inner seasons weren't working in the same way. Like they can all happen at any moment in an ovulatory cycle. And she said, it's like climate change. It is climate change. You know, it's this like inner climate change that's happening.
Yeah. I love that quote. It's so good. Yeah.
And I think it points to like this beautiful section in the book where you have these strategies for navigating perimenopause on page 78. And one of them is keep practicing menstrual cycle awareness. Mm.
What I love, Sophie, is how, you know, what I love about changing menstrual cycles, which is oftentimes what happens in the quickening and certainly the hinterland. What I love about it is the practice of menstrual cycle awareness really amps up. So when you have a life of predictable cycles, you can actually get relatively complacent and start to fool yourself into believing that you're in control and that, you know, that things are going to go according to plan. You know, you can actually go relatively unconscious. And the thing with shifting cycles is it wakes you up. Suddenly you're really having to pay attention because your cycle is guiding you, really guiding you, and it's asking you to come closer in to yourself, to not let your mind run the show and not fall into, you know, the false fantasy that you're in control. And that's profound preparation for menopause.
Yeah, you're actually guided into menopause. You're pulled inside something. You're inside a process. And then coming back to that question of, you know, is it menopause yet? The answer arises. It's self-evident. You won't be asking the question. You'll be in a process and it will feel meaningful, even as it may be challenging. But you have, I want to say, a sort of infrastructure for meeting it. You have a sort of, that's not the right word, but you have
a blueprint.
Mm. There's a blueprint for something. So it's not like you're consciously going, oh, I've got to do this. You somehow are just in it and you meet it. I suppose there's a certain discipline you have in yourself. Oh, and you lose it. Of course you lose it. I mean, you've got to lose it.
Yeah, I mean, in a way, what we're talking about here is how the changes that happen in the quickening are really building our capacity for presence and self-awareness.
Yeah.
And when you have that presence and self-awareness, you're then connected to the process. You're then connected to menstruality, and the intelligence of menstruality holds you. That's that blueprint.
It feels meaningful, actually. Yeah. It starts to feel meaningful. And I felt I was in a very meaningful process. You know, I was literally in a transition because I got sort of my instructions in inverted commas on what I had to do with my life at 48. And 7 years later, I had fulfilled them, you know, and was coming out of menopause the other end at 55. So I had heard something within my being that I knew to be true. And I didn't know how the hell I was going to pull it off, but I set the line. I said, okay, yeah, that's, I don't know how it's going to happen, but I had this kind of trust. So I was in a flow of something. And it's like, and I do say this, you know, and Shani just said it then, actually, that, you know, she said menstruality is guiding you. Well, what I often say is that menopause has you. Menopause actually has your back, but you've got to be present and aware to sort of catch the clues. And that requires a certain trust and self-acceptance in yourself. And, you know, Shani earlier was talking about, you know, this kindness she's developing, that's growing in her towards herself. And yeah, there's a sort of confidence, and it isn't a suit, stop. Confidence probably isn't the right word, but a sense of knowing herself and being in something, and that's going to get stronger and stronger. So you're going to sort of feel, almost not consciously but subtly, that it's not like your, you know, your left brain's going to go, oh yes, that is menopause coming in and supporting me. It's just that your being has a knowing of something, has a knowing of something, has an, and you somehow have the wit to trust that knowing. And I did have the wit to trust it. And I have to give thanks for cycle awareness over the years for giving me that capacity to just go with the clues of my being. And then there would be, for me, there was just so many outer clues. I mean, the synchronicities were just off the Richter scale. They were just so interesting.
It is interesting. And I really want to name that this kind of trust that you're speaking about, or this turning towards ourselves and this kindness, is so much easier when we're together with other people who are navigating the same kind of unknown, uncertain, bewildering experiences. And I want to point people to The Great Awakener. Well, I want to point people to Wise Power, the book, and all of the community gatherings we're going to have in the launch of the book, but also to The Great Awakener, our online program, which is for, to support anyone who's in menopause to navigate these, to learn about and navigate these five phases of the transition. But it is also relevant for people in their later 40s.
Oh, absolutely. And what's a beauty about this course is you can, you know, it's almost like you can have a trial run of something. Because the exercises are giving you insight into your relationship to particular skills or capacities that you're going to need. Then you want to be practicing them now that you're going to really need fiercely going through menopause, and insight into the different stages. But because of how we set up the course, you can come back, you know, next year, and we've had people come back third year, and each time, particularly the second years, but that's third year too, they get so much more out of it, because they've kind of had a year of living with something, having done it once, and then they come for the next round and they can go deeper. So it's a course that really keeps on giving. It's really good as a way of bringing you into this trust, bringing you into yourself, and this trust with yourself. I think that would be my biggest intention for the course, and I feel absolutely the course delivers on that.
And the community, the togetherness,
together. The community around that, because it's so affirming hearing all these other stories. It's so affirming.
The other reason it's a really great thing for people to do in their 40s is because what you're learning about is the phases of initiation, and the exercises really deepen you into the skills and awareness to navigate the phases of initiation. And that's, you know, we go through initiations in our life all the time, and we go through it every month at menstruation. So practicing this through the course, in a way, you're getting that, like, that skill bedded down in your system, both for whatever you're facing in your life now, but also then, you know, in preparation for menopause. So these are life skills.
And post, I live by that knowledge now.
Post-menopause.
I know, in terms of meeting, you know, the challenges and things that we're doing, it's, they're powerful skills, tools, and yeah, it's just core. It's core for my care post-menopause.
So, final word time. What would you share as a final word for someone who's in the middle of feeling bewildered and lost and confused, and what's going on in the quickening? What would you say to help them to hold themselves through this?
Whatever you're experiencing in your 40s, and often it doesn't feel good, it is challenging and confronting. Whatever you're experiencing, I really invite you to dignify it. And by that I mean to not see it as bad or wrong or a problem, but to get deeply curious about the meaning that's at work and really meet the challenges as an invitation into taking better care of yourself and into taking more responsibility for yourself.
I'd like to just add one quick thing. Well, cycle awareness, just do your cycle awareness. But it's really just a final two words, or three words, take yourself seriously. Take your power seriously.
Ah, thank you so much for tuning in today and for listening all the way through till now. If this has really piqued your interest and you're looking for support and inspiration and encouragement and ideas as you navigate this phase of your life, we really recommend that you pre-order your copy of Wise Power. There's a whole chapter about the quickening and lots more information about how to prepare for menopause, how to manage the new negotiation with power that's going on in our beings at this time, and so much more. So you can pre-order your copy at wisepowerbook.com. Okay, that's the end of our special menopause summer series, and it's now the beginning of a series of conversations that I'm so excited to have with menopausal and postmenopausal leaders and change makers and troublemakers and creatives and all kinds of incredible people that I can't wait to share with you. So I look forward to starting that in 2 weeks' time. And until then, keep living life according to your own brilliant rhythm.